Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Welcome back, folks, and welcome to our show. Where's El Nino? We're in Southern California, or anywhere in California, and it is H-O-T hot. I'm here with my co-host, Johnny Hernandez. Johnny, how are you?
I'm fantastic. It is hot, gorgeous, and sunny out, isn't it?
It is the hottest February on record in the state of California in 96 years. So anyway,
They were just saying about this morning, I was listening to something, they said, watching the news, I'm up in the Central Valley up here in California today, and they were saying, you know what, everyone's still waiting on El Nino to show up.
Yeah, well, they're going to be waiting for a while. They better just take pails of water outside and throw it up in the air as close as they're going to get.
That's it.
All right, so folks, today we're talking about work-life balance. And before we get going, because this is a subject that has been around for a while, it is a very, very important topic to the millennials. And it is something I think that we all think about but do not do. I want to read you a letter that someone you would know and probably in this very moment are holding a product of his vision or dreams, and that is Steve Jobs. He wrote a letter on his deathbed, and this is what he wrote. Just listen to his words. I reached the pinnacle of success in the business world. In others' eyes, my life was the epitome of success. However, aside from work, I have little joy. In the end, wealth was the only fact of life that I'm accustomed to. At this moment, lying on my sick bed and recalling my whole life, I realized that all the recognition and wealth that I took so much pride in had paled and had become meaningless in the face of impending death. In the darkness, I look at the green lights from the life-supporting machines and hear the humming mechanical sounds. I can feel the breath of God of death drawing closer. Now I know when we have accumulated sufficient wealth to last our lifetime, we should pursue other matters that are unrelated to wealth. They should be more important. Perhaps relationships, perhaps art, perhaps a dream of younger days. Nonstop pursuing of wealth will only turn a person into a twisted being just like me. God gave us the senses to let us feel the love in everyone's heart, not the illusions brought by wealth. The wealth I have won in my life, I cannot bring with me. What I can bring with me are only the memories precipitated by love. That's the true riches which I follow and accompany you and giving you strength when the light goes on. Love can travel 1,000 miles. Life has no limit. Go where you want to go, reach the height you want to reach. It's all in your heart and in your hands. By the way, what's the most expensive bed in the world? Sick bed. You can employ someone to drive the car for you, make money for you, but you cannot have someone bear the sickness for you. Material things lost can be found, but there's one thing that can never be found when it's lost: life. When a person goes into the operating room, he will realize that there is one book he has yet to finish reading, the book of a healthy life. Whichever stage in life you are right now, with time, we will face the day when the curtain comes down. Treasure, love your family, love your spouse, love your friends. Treat yourself well and cherish others. Steve Jobs. What an amazing letter. And I know that a lot of people probably have seen it on Facebook, but it's so in alignment with our topic today of work-life balance. If all we do is work without an opportunity or taking the opportunity to spend time either with ourselves or with our loved ones, you know, I love the old saying, Jack Nicholson said, all work and no play is a very dull Jack. So what are your thoughts about that, Johnny? Have you heard that letter before?
I think the reality is, I think a lot of times we assume that people have actually read that letter, and we have a perception of Steve Jobs, and when you watch the movie, I think the nice thing is you take out the implications or the mystery, because he comes right out and tells you how he lived his life, what his regrets were without saying they were regrets, and truly what a man that, to a certain degree, although he was at peace with what was going to happen, he wasn't at peace with where he was.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what you can say on the show that could be more powerful than what he said in that note, other than the fact that we are, especially in the United States, programmed to move at 100 miles an hour. And, Daniel, you and I were talking yesterday, and although we were laughing about it, tongue-in-cheek, we said, holy cow, we should ask for all sorts of guests to call in today because we could use as much support and help on this as much as anyone else. And it was even, you think about last week when you and I were together, I mean, you and I took some time to slow down, and that's the space where we're good for each other. But it's so easy to get wrapped up and then say, I'm going to make time later for this, or I'm going to find time later to do this, in which we never do that.
Mm.
And if we could just take this, and I just think it's just take Steve Jobs for a minute, because I think he's the perfect example. He's notorious for having such a high level of discipline that it was a borderline abusive, right? Where his people or his employees knew that he was so rigid about what Apple would and would not be, which is ultimately is more of a vision than anything else, but how it would be done. So there wasn't a lot of flexibility, as I understand it, in terms of how certain things were done, other than the innovation, the engineers, so forth and so on. If you were to approach your entire life, and I say this whether you're in business, whether you're a parent, whatever it is, with the same level of rigor and discipline that you put into whatever that is, let's just say work for the sake of this conversation, you would be so much better off.
Mm.
And I use the example of, I'm great at to a certain degree, there's some disciplines that I have in my life that when I fall out of those disciplines, I get really uncomfortable. But at the same time, there's disciplines that I get very discouraged and frustrated with myself if and when I don't execute. So as an example, right, this well enough. When I get up in the morning, one of the first things I enjoy doing in the morning is I enjoy going to church. I like going to mass every morning to start my day off, right? On the other hand, one of the things I know I need to do every morning or at some point in the day is I need to build an exercise into that regimen. Until I say that I'm done and effective immediately, I'm going to treat my exercise at the same level I do as the same level of importance as I do as my work, and or in this example of getting up and going to mass every morning, I'm not going to have balance. And it balance takes discipline, and it doesn't take, what do they say? Hope is not a good strategy, right? Good intentions aren't good strategies. You've got to be forthright. You've got to put it down on paper. You've got to apply the rigor and the energy to say that this is my plan, and I'm not going to deviate from it except when I need to be to do it to be judicious. I mean, how do you find it? I mean, you find the time to go up, shoot your text, you're at the park doing your meditation. What are some of the tricks that you've found?
Well, you just said it. Folks, at the end of the day, life is going to happen no matter what. I'm currently in the process of writing a new book called Dancing in the Chaos. And although we can probably all agree that we live in a chaotic world, we don't have to be a part of that chaos. And I think you said what the magic wand is, and that is discipline. And being able to have such discipline in areas that are good for you, like you go to church and working out, I go to the park and walk. And when when it's good for you, because when you stop, you feel uncomfortable. And so it's important for us even to find a minute, 2 minutes in our day where we are stopping. A big topic in the corporate world today is mindfulness. Being mindful doesn't necessarily mean that you're meditating. It means that you're stopping and being aware of the present moment that you're currently breathing in. So you can be mindful at walking, you can be mindful at eating, you could be mindful the way you hug, you could be mindful in the way that you work. I mean, there's just so, and it's just saying that we need to slow down. The Gallup polls are showing that 83% of American workers are stressed at work. 75% of American workers never take a vacation, and 73% of the time of our life, expectancy is spent at work. Those are some high numbers, folks. Those are some high numbers. And unless we find a way, now, what has that got to do with productivity? It's got everything to do with productivity, because for me, if I go take that walk in the morning, even though sometimes it may be too hot, too cold, whatever my little brain wants to tell me when I get up, when I do go out and I enjoy the outside and I enjoy the trees and the squirrels and the cranes and all the different animals that cross my path as I'm walking, I am able to focus more than if I thought that that 1 hour that I would save by not going, by noon I'm stressed out of my mind. So productivity, and this again, if you want to go to scientific numbers, I mean, the numbers are showing that an individual's productivity by slowing down and finding balance in their life increases productivity by 20%. And that's because they're not focused on distracting themselves with social media versus focusing on their work.
It's the old theory of slow down to go faster.
Yes. Sharpen the saw, as Stephen Covey would say.
That's exactly right. And I think that if we, as we go through and we struggle with these, and I find it even if I get, you know, depending on where I'm at in the country, I'll get up early in the morning and, you know, I'll jump on my laptop to respond to emails to get some work done. And if I'm not careful, what I'll do is, it's crazy because it's so funny how you justify this ridiculous behaviors in your mind. So what you do is you'll sit there and you'll work, and you'll work for 2 hours and cut short your time. Let's just say to go to the gym, work out, run on the treadmill, elliptical, whatever. You'll cut that short. You're like, okay, well, you know, I'll do it later. Which one later never comes. Very seldom
never
ever come. But then the other part, what you do is then you walk away and you go, and then here's the statement, right? And the funny thing is you're the only one you're telling this to, which is makes it even more foolish because you know the answer. You're just saying, well, you know what? I needed to get that work done. At least now I have it done and behind me. I don't have to worry about it anymore. And it's just but in the meantime, we'll go through the rest of the day regretting the fact that we never got our butts up and jumped on the elliptical or did whatever it was that we intended to do to begin with. And it's that balance. And I think that when you think way back when Stephen Covey came out with the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Successful People, and he talked about the 4 quadrants, and which is a great book. It could be potentially a difficult read if you're not in the mood to read, but once you get into it, it's a phenomenal book. And it talks about the balance between the emotional, the social, the spiritual, and the physical. And it's when you begin your week and you start out at the beginning of every week, you stop and you say, okay, what are those things that are most important to me? Before you even start your work thing, you say, okay, how am I going to contribute to my social well-being this week? And let's just say it could be a trip to grandma's. Let's just put that down as an example. What am I going to do physically, right? And then you put that in your calendar. Then you go right down the list amongst the 4 quadrants. And those are the first things. It's like the rocks and the pebbles in the bucket, right, or in the vase. Those are the first things that go on your calendar. And then you commit to yourself that these are the things, the 4 to 8 things, that no matter what else I schedule, these do not get moved. These do not get, or if they move, they move, you know, in the time of day, but they do not get removed from my calendar at the expense of everything else, the non-negotiables. And then everything else for your week fills in around those things. And it's easier said than done because you say, well, God, that seems incredibly logical. Okay, well, first of all, it requires a discipline on Sunday to sit down and do it, right? And then it goes into the whole craziness of you're in the middle of the day and at 3 o'clock you're supposed to be at the gym and someone says, we need you in this meeting at 3 o'clock. And do you treat that with the same importance that you would if you were saying, no, I'm going to my child's recital? Because unless you truly had to, you wouldn't miss your child's recital. Then why would you miss the opportunity to take care of yourself, sharpen the saw, as you said, from Covey's, from that book,
7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Yeah.
That's exactly what it is, right? And I mean, it's, you have to have that level of rigor around. You have to love you and I had this conversation about mindfulness not too long ago on one of the shows. you have to love yourself enough to put yourself first on a regular basis. And that's what we struggle with. It's this need, this desire to feel like, you know, we're part of something, or the need to be recognized or well thought of by our leaders and so forth. And then we put ourselves in the back seat. And that's just is wrong, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I don't remember. Was it Jim Croce that sang The Cat's in the Cradle? It's a great song about, you know, a dad who never has time for a son, and his son grows up, and dad's finally retired and saying, hey, son, you want to go play golf or something? He says, oh, I just don't have time. And it's just that vicious cycle that we get into. And you said it best. I think that, by the way, having work-life balance, you know, you don't necessarily have to take an hour and a half to go work out at the gym. We're talking about taking a walk around the building. Maybe even, have you ever thought about even taking your laptop outside to a park? I mean, nowadays, I mean, I don't know about you, Johnny, but I have Wi-Fi outside of my office. So I don't have to stay in the office. But, you know, getting outside and getting some air and not being stuck in the same four walls that I call my reality. But I think that work-life balance, people are starting to find out that there is a direct correlation to productivity. And I know for a fact for myself that I've often said, as I said in the heading for our show today, that I sometimes make more money doing nothing than I do doing something. And really what that means is that when I let go of what I think control is, and me controlling my business or controlling my clients, and as long as I've done everything that I could possibly do within my day, that I let go. I let go and let the creator, the divine, the universe, whatever you choose to call it, do its part. Do it. Take care of what I don't control people. I mean, that's another thing about work-life balance. We got to let go of our necessity for controlling people. That's why we don't go and we don't do these things, because we're afraid we're going to lose something. And quite honestly, it's quite the opposite. You lose everything. You know, reading the letter from Steve Jobs, I never get tired of reading it, because, you know, here's a guy who from the outside looked like he had it all, and now if you see watch his movie, you read his book, or listen to this letter, it's very poignant that he didn't, you know, and his family will tell you he wasn't a good man when it come to family. And so the question, I think that, you know, this is something else that I think is important. So those of you that are listening, I just want you to indulge me in this one little exercise. Imagine yourself at your funeral. Imagine that you're actually seeing the funeral happen and that you're looking down. And somebody is reading the eulogy or reciting your eulogy. What are they saying about you? And who's there? I think if you're honest with yourself, it's the opposite of the way you're acting in life today. Because the people that will actually take time to come to your funeral are the people that you touched. The people that you slowed down long enough to show that you were a human being with a heart and not a number. The person reading your eulogy may not be your boss. It may be a friend that you just never didn't stay in contact with, but still loved you dearly. At the end of the day, if you can do that exercise and write down who's there and what are they saying, if they're not, I saw, what was I watching? It's a sitcom, and I don't remember the name of the, I can't remember. Oh, Mike and Molly. And one of the friends of the mother, who's real tough to get along with, had a funeral and nobody showed up. And everybody was like kind of with their head in the ground, and they said, well, she was just a very ugly woman. I mean, think about it. Who's going to show up at your funeral? Work-life balance is not just about that, but it's about, you know, recognizing that if you could take a look at that piece of your life and look down at that funeral and see what they're saying, that right now, in this very moment, as you're listening to us on this show, you can do something about that so that the script of your eulogy is different from what it is today. Will there be nobody there because you didn't give people time, including yourself, or will it be thousands and thousands of people that you touched and that you lived life, you didn't live for life, or life didn't live you. So it is an important thing, and I think today, Johnny, that people are beginning to recognize. Both of us know people that work, but their health is just crap. It's crap. I hate to, you know, that's just, it's just not good.
Yes.
And they're not going to be here very long. And at the end of the day, all the money you've accumulated doesn't mean a damn thing, as Steve Jobs said.
You know, Daniel, as you talk about this, I'm just taking mental notes, and three things come to mind. I've always loved that eulogy exercise, and I would say if once you're done doing that and documenting what your eulogy would look like if you passed today, Lord forbid, right? But then I would challenge you to write what you'd like, literally be very clear and document what you would like your eulogy to sound like.
Mm-hmm.
What would be different? What would they say? And then call Daniel and I will take you through the whole process if you want. But ultimately what you do then is you've created your own personal development plan.
Yep.
Is really what you've done is you say, when I pass away, this is what I hope people would say. This is the type of person that I would hope would show up at my funeral. And these are the things that I would hope they would say about me. Then you bounce that against the one you just got done doing, saying this is what they would say today. And now what you can do is you've got the basis and the foundation for your personal development plan. And I would say for the rest of your life, understanding, though, that you're going to continue once you really get disciplined and get purposeful around working on this plan, ultimately what happens is you start getting good at it. And that plan evolves and it evolves and it evolves and it continues to get better. So I think I love this exercise. And it's something that you should keep with you, not necessarily on your refrigerator, something that's more private.
Put it in your iPhone
absolutely. In this, when you talk about work-life balance, is put it somewhere where, and then put it on your calendar as part of your plan that every 30 days, however frequently you need it to show up in front of you, but go back and compare that. What you'll find out is as you start working this plan and it starts becoming habitual, what you'll soon realize is you don't need to pull it out because it's just so top of mind. You know where you're at in your milestone journey. I'm just having lunch. Actually, you talk about work-life balance. You know, we talk about the golf. I'm doing the show. I'm sitting outside. It's gorgeous, overlooking a beautiful river here in Stockton, California. It's beautiful out here, and it's just so refreshing to do something different. And when you talk about, Daniel, you said as we getting out and getting away from the norm, get away from the stereotypical way that you do business today. If you're a leader and you have to do one-on-ones with your employees, unless it's 30 below, and even then there's places to go, get your employee and say, let's go for a walk. And together, go out and get some exercise and have the conversation. I can promise you, just because of the nature of where you're at, the dialogue will be that much more richer, that much more productive, and that much more ultimately enriching. But those are the things that you've got to stop. You've got to break the mold as to how you've been doing things today, but go into it knowing that you're going to drop the ball. So if you think about alcoholics, addicts, any type of addiction, you know there's a reason they say only 2 out of 10 recover right away. It's because change is hard, right? And
mm-hmm.
there's people that take them 5 different times to go to rehab before it finally sticks. It's not easy. Change isn't easy. Otherwise, we would all say, okay, effective today, I'm going to quit smoking, and then today I never pick up a cigarette, right? Right? Effective today, I'm going to be more patient, not have a temper. That's not the way it works. So I love the eulogy exercise. I think you take that, you start shaping that into what does your personal development plan look like, and just that high level of discipline is what is it that you're going to start doing, and then force yourself because pretty soon it's not as painful a week down the road as it is the first day, and then you get a couple weeks, a month, 2 months, pretty soon at 3 months, guess what? It's second nature and you know of no other way to do it. It's just what a wonderful experience it is then. Then you become a teacher. Now you have the wisdom from experience and you become a teacher.
Well, it also sets the path for if you're an executive, a leader, a manager, for the people that look up to you, and it also sets the path for your children and the people that look up to you, and it sets the pathway for other people who maybe you don't know are watching you.
That's right.
And it's a great exercise. I agree. It's a great exercise. And when you break it down by whoever the roles you play in your life. In other words, if you're a dad, then what would your children say today?
Yes.
What would your children say today? You know, would they say he's a hard worker, I never see him? Or do you want them to say he was a great father, I loved him, and he loved me dearly? If that's not the answer, what Johnny was talking about putting a plan into action, it's time to do it now. There's never a late time, folks. It's human nature to make things hard. It's human nature to think, you know, but if you just start one day at a time, I agree with Johnny, before you know it, you don't even know you're doing it. You just have made that turn around the corner. And so break down the roles that you play, and you know, what would your spouse say? Well, he provided. Oh, that's nice. That's it? What would you want him to say? You know, and are you playing that out? You know, but all this is that we're saying is so that, like I said, remember what I said, 73% of your waking hours are spent at your place of business or work. That doesn't consider sleep. So if you add the sleep in there, you don't leave a whole lot of time for yourself and others, for your family. So it really has to be deliberate. It has to be deliberate that you're spending time, because before you know it, I had a friend, Johnny, and we'll close with this and have your closing comments, that all he ever did was worry. He wasn't a good man. I mean, he was a rough and tough kind of guy, and he was always worried about his credit score. And by the way, he had four homes in California, so he was a multimillionaire. And he was always talking about some a day, like it was somewhere on the calendar. Some a day he was going to do this, and some a day he was going to do that. And he had a massive heart attack and died in his sleep, never woke up. What a waste. I used to tell him that one of these days he wouldn't be here anymore, and that it would be a waste that he didn't get a chance to live. He never really lived. We don't know when our last breath is, as Steve Jobs was saying. We don't know, but one thing is for sure, that curtain will come down, and we don't know when that is, so take advantage of that. John, we've got a couple minutes. Anything in closing?
I would just say regrets suck, and you know what? That's one thing that's consistent in life. Likes living with regrets, and take the time, make the time. If you need help, you need a book, reach out to Daniel and myself. We don't claim to have mastered it. Matter of fact, I would tell you that I'm a huge student of trying to learn how to do this right, especially as an entrepreneur. But I would say make the time, invest in yourself, because you're far more important than your job. And when they look to you as a role model, your kids will replicate exactly what they see in their parents. And so show them the types of behaviors you hope they'll exhibit as they get older. And,
that's right.
And have an outstanding week, for Pete's sake.
Take that step today, folks. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.